Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live out here at BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. This is a brand new space, and it is beautiful. It's where the old Patron Club used to be at Bridgestone Arena, but it is completely updated. It is beautiful. The space is massive. They've got more TVs than I can count. They've got great food. They've got a full bar, so come out here to the BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. You do not have to wait for a game day. You can come out. It's open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. And you can even come here and hang out on a Predators game day, even if you don't have a ticket. So it's a great space. Appreciate Michelle Kennedy, Predators president, for joining us in the last segment. She said, get the hanging bacon. So I might have to get into that after our show is wrapped up. But we have a new head coach in New England. It is not Mike Vrabel. I do want to get into that. But D-May's first, a little bit of a deja vu all over again. Apparently A.J. Brown's deleted all Philadelphia Eagles-related content on his Instagram.
Oh, my goodness. Is it that time of year?
It's not even that time of year. We're in the playoffs.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe, you know what? I mean, I don't know why these players do some of the things that they do nowadays. I mean, removing them from your social media, what does that mean? I mean, they still have you under contract. You're still going to play this weekend. Maybe you're just doing it because you want to sort of get off social media and concentrate on the playoffs. But if that's indeed the case, just deactivate your account. Concentrate on the playoffs and try to put your team in the best position to make it to the Super Bowl. But again, man, I don't understand these young kids nowadays. I sound old. I'm not old, but I just don't understand them. Maybe you can tell me why he chose to do that once again, Caroline, because I do not know.
D-Mace, AJ and I are the same age, and I don't get it. So maybe I'm old. Maybe I'm old for my age, but I simply do not understand it. And, you know, let's go back to the Jeffrey Simmons saga of his contract, and he deleted everything, all Titan stuff off of his Instagram. He's going through a contract dispute. The Eagles apparently gave AJ everything that he wanted. He got the money. He got the targets. Now everything coming out of Philadelphia is that AJ's been nothing but a nuisance in the locker room, that he's been so outspoken about how unhappy he is with the coaching staff. Now here you are, it's Friday. Do the Eagles play tomorrow or Sunday? Either way, you're 24 to 48 hours away from playing in a playoff game, and now the number one story out of Philadelphia is AJ's Instagram. I don't get it. I don't think I will ever understand it. Like, focus on the game, AJ. Don't be worrying about your Instagram. Don't be worrying about whatever personal vendettas you might have against this coaching staff.
I don't get it. What does it accomplish? Again, you're still under contract. To me, it just shows the immaturity. Because you understand, as you start to get older in this league, it's a business. Things are not going to, you know, you're not going to get along with everybody else, everybody on the team. You may not even get along with the head coach, hell. But you are there to do a job. And you scrubbing your Instagram of the team, I mean, again, what does that do? It does nothing, because the fact remains you still are a Philadelphia Eagle, and you're causing more harm than you are not by doing this. Is another distraction. You already have distractions within that organization with your quarterback being hurt all season, him not playing well, you know, offense not doing as well. And then you want to add this on as you're headed into the playoffs. It's not a good look.
Not a good look. AJ gonna AJ. But all right, let's get into this, because the news of the morning, yeah, I wake up yesterday morning, I see Bill Belichick is fired. I wake up this morning, I see that Gerard Mayo has been hired as the next head coach for the New England Patriots. I don't know what's going to happen when I wake up tomorrow morning, maybe even more of a news dump, but the New England Patriots have worked fast. But after all of that, D-Mace, after all of that, of the months of the Mike Vrabel to New England propaganda, after the Ben Volen report in the Boston Globe saying Robert Kraft's home run hire would be Mike Vrabel, after Greg Bedard's report, article, whatever you want to call it, that he put out about the connection between Mike Vrabel and New England, Mike Vrabel going to New England to accept his admission to the Patriots Hall of Fame, you know, enjoy this, it's not like this everywhere. After all of that, what felt like the very public flirting between New England and Mike Vrabel, after all of that, 24 hours is all it took for New England to name Gerard Mayo the head coach. Diana Russini tweeted earlier this morning, the New England Patriots never reached out to a single person, including the hot names like Jim Harbaugh, Mike Vrabel, or even Ben Johnson, per sources. They made their decision less than a day after firing Belichick with a plan in place. They had a plan in place? They didn't even call Mike Vrabel after all of that?
Hey, the joke's on you. I mean, that's basically what it is. It's like, you know, everyone thought that it was just a foregone conclusion that Mike Vrabel gets fired, then the next landing spot would just ultimately be. It was just like nobody really thought he's going to New England. Look at what happened, you know, during the season. He went up to New England, got him surrounded through the Hall of Fame, and then subsequently these stories start to come out about him being the home-run hire. Uh-huh. Well, I guess just like Geno said, you know, they called, I didn't ask, I didn't call back, and something like that.
They wrote me off, I didn't write back.
Well, Gerard Mayo was saying the same thing. Y'all all wrote me off when, in actuality, there was a contingency plan within my contract that if Bill Belichick does retire, I will segue into being a head coach. You got to remember, the story is that, you know, Bill Belichick asked Gerard Mayo to come back to that coaching staff. They were grooming him to be the next coach of the New England Patriots. I don't know how Mike Vrabel name got thrown in there, other than, you know, him winning three Super Bowls there and him being a hot commodity here and what he was doing in Nashville as far as winning wise. But all the while, the owner Kraft, Bill Belichick, they already set the thing in place. They already set the thing, the wheels in motion in regards to Gerard Mayo getting the coaching job. I believe it was in his contract that once Bill left, he would be his successor. So, you know, Gerard Mayo was like, hey, listen, joke's on y'all. I knew I was going to be the head coach. It was just a matter of time. When was Bill Belichick going to step aside, or when will they mutually part ways? That the minute they mutually parted ways, I was in line to be the next head coach, and it didn't take 48 hours for them to name Gerard Mayo the next head coach of the New England Patriots. And, you know, good for him, good for that organization. Now Mike has the, you know, I'm sure Mike could get another job. There are several other teams out there that need head coaches, but it just, everybody just, you know, as soon as things started to, you know, get a little hairy here in Nashville, everybody sort of wrote, you know, Vrabel to New England was just a no-brainer. Well, it wasn't that way.
Well, you know, you say, where did this idea of Vrabel to New England come from? It came out of New England. I mean, like I said, the Ben Volen report in the Boston Globe. And I understand Greg Bedard's reporting feels a little bit diluted after we heard him on with Jared on his show about a month or so ago, asking about, you know, where did you hear about this relationship between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, so on and so forth. But there were a lot of people in New England, reliable sources in New England, who were telling us, hey, Mike Vrabel to the Patriots. So that's where it came from. I don't think this was just some conspiracy that was cooked up by the people of Nashville, or it was just an assumption that Mike Vrabel would be in consideration for the head coaching job because he played in New England. No, New England was telling us that he would be a candidate. But you bring up Gerard Mayo's contract. Ian Rappaport put this out. Says Gerard Mayo is a strong candidate to replace Bill Belichick. And, of course, this was put out before he was named as the head coach. It says no need to go through the lengthy hiring process. They established a firm contractual succession plan in a prior contract and communicated it to the NFL. I don't think that necessarily means once Bill was fired or retired that Gerard Mayo was, you know, the sure 100% had to be the next head coach contractually agreed to. I just think the Patriots put that in his contract so that if they wanted him to be the next head coach, they wouldn't have to go through the lengthy hiring process. I find it very hard to believe that the Patriots would pigeonhole themselves into their next head coach beforehand. They would be contractually obligated to hire one specific head coach, because anything can happen. I mean, look at the head coaches that are on the market.
I understand that, but if you know this guy is going to be your next guy, then you can put that in the contract. If you believe in your heart that this will be the next guy that is going to succeed Bill Belichick, then you're going to put it in the contract, and you're not going to worry about, you know, whether, you know, he goes to another team or not. You put this within your contract because you believe wholeheartedly that this is the individual that can lead our franchise to more Super Bowls. And obviously that's what Kraft thought, and that's what he believed. And subsequently, you put it in his contract, and then you hire him less than 48 hours later. That means in the back of your, in your mind, you knew that he was going to be Bill's successor. You wasn't looking outside for a Mike Vrabel or anyone else. You felt that he had the pulse of that locker room. He knew those guys. Those guys loved him. And he showed that he could be leader, that he could be a leader of men. So you hire him. So I just don't see. They must didn't get Robert Kraft on the right day, because I know it came out that, you know, Mike Vrabel would be his home run hire. But you say if that is indeed true, he could be your home run hire. But then you less than 48 hours after, you know, moving away from, you know, arguably the greatest coach in NFL history, you already have in place your head coach. That tells me you thought about this for a very long time.
And I think that has felt obvious that Gerard Mayo was the head coach in waiting. But why come out and say Mike Vrabel would be our home run hire, and then not even pick up the phone and call him, assuming Diana Rossini's report is true? Now, it might not be. The Patriots may have called Mike Vrabel, and Mike Vrabel may have said no. I don't know. But in November, this was, I guess, about 3 months ago, 2 months ago, it was reported that Mike Vrabel would be Robert Kraft's home run hire. Mike Vrabel's available for the taking. You don't even have to trade for him, and you don't even call him?
That's because you probably, in your mind, you had your successor already in place. There was no need to go outside of, you know, the building. You had the guy that you believe, that you trust, that was going to lead this franchise into, you know, winning more Super Bowls. So, you know, I don't know why, you know, that came out in regards to, you know, Mike Vrabel being the home run hire. I don't know why it came out, but it does seem like that they thought about this for a very long time, so much so that they put it in, they set up this contract even before, you know, Bill decided that, you know, that they decided mutually they would part ways. So to me, they already had in their mind who their next guy was going to be, regardless of who got fired and who didn't. They knew they had their guy in house. And the minute that Bill stepped away, Gerard Mayo was going to be the guy.
I just find it very odd, because you don't know how that got out. I tend to believe that things don't get out really unless you want them to get out. So if Robert Kraft or someone within the Patriots facility, a high-ranking official in the Patriots facility, said that they wanted, or that Mike Vrabel would be their home run hire, they wanted that to get out. So it's something, the math ain't math in there. Something's not connecting there. But Joe Rexroad had a very interesting conspiracy theory, and I was very proud of Joe putting on his tinfoil hat this morning and deep diving into the pool of conspiracies. This was his thought on potentially how we could have gone from 2 months ago, Mike Vrabel's your home run hire. Now, you know, Gerard Mayo's the head coach. You didn't even pick up the phone and call Mike Vrabel when he was available. This was Joe Rexroad this morning.
So since this is all one big freaking soap opera, it's our soap opera,
yep,
the NFL. I'm just going to throw a wild speculation out there for you, and this, you just do with it what you will.
Okay.
I think Jonathan Kraft wanted Vrabel to be the coach and not Gerard Mayo. and his dad wanted Gerard Mayo, and Jonathan Kraft tried to use the media to make it not happen.
I like that. I could see that.
I mean, hey, it's just me throwing stuff at the wall.
Ooh, okay. What do we think about that? That Robert Kraft put that in Gerard Mayo's contract, that he wanted Gerard Mayo as the next head coach, but Jonathan Kraft, Robert Kraft's son, who was the president of the New England Patriots, was kind of going behind his dad's back and using the media to drum up interest for Mike Vrabel because Jonathan Kraft wanted Mike Vrabel. What do we make of Joe's theory?
Hey, listen, I'm all about the tinfoil hats. You know that.
This is a pro tinfoil hat program.
Exactly. We're all about that. So I'm sure that could be a possibility. And once that got out, you know, Robert Kraft was like, listen, you know, this is the guy that I want in place. Y'all can put out whatever y'all want to put out. Y'all can put out that, you know, he is the home run hire. He may have been my son's home run hire, but he's not my home run hire. My hire, the guy that's going to see Bill Belichick, is the guy that's already in house. And that's Gerard Mayo. So kudos to Gerard Mayo. But then again, you know, I'm with Joe. I mean, hey, I like the conspiracy theories. I like the soap opera. It sounds good. It makes for more tantalizing radio to think that, you know, the owner wanted one thing and then the son, you know, tried to circumvent that and put this name out because he wants another guy. But then ultimately, the owner of the team made the decision to go with the guy that he believes is the best guy for this team, and that's Gerard Mayo.
I think one of two things has to be true. One, either Ben Volen's report was true and was from Robert Kraft, and Robert Kraft meant it wholeheartedly that Mike Vrabel was his home run hire, and that when Robert Kraft decided to part ways with Bill Belichick, he picked up the phone and called Mike Vrabel, and Mike Vrabel wasn't interested. Whether this was before Mike Vrabel got fired or after Mike Vrabel got fired, whatever it might be, that Mike Vrabel was not interested and did not want the New England job. That's one side of things. And maybe that, and I don't know how Mike Vrabel feels. You know, we've seen a few reports coming out here and there of maybe Mike Vrabel wants to take a year off from coaching, that the past couple of years with the Titans have taken a big toll on him, that he just wants a year just to chill. And maybe that's the truth. I don't know. I don't know what Mike Vrabel wants. I think that's one thing. One possibility here. I think the other possibility, I think Joe could be onto something. That there was a disagreement within the Patriots organization. That somebody wanted, somebody with power in the Patriots organization, somebody that was a good enough source for the Boston Globe to run with that, said that we want Mike Vrabel. And that there was a disagreement between that person and Robert Kraft, or that person and ownership. And ownership wanted Gerard Mayo, and ultimately, you know, let's assume it was Robert Kraft here. Let's just, in this example, say it was Robert Kraft, that Robert Kraft won, that Robert Kraft got his guy. And there was some sort of miscommunication or disagreement behind closed doors with the New England Patriots. Somebody wanted Vrabel, and somebody didn't.
Well, I'm sure there is somebody, because, listen, that story, or, you know, that story wouldn't have came out if it wasn't, you know, if there wasn't some truth to it, you know, that you know, potentially Mike could be the predecessor to Bill Belichick if indeed Bill steps aside. I mean, obviously, you know, they mutually parted ways. So I wouldn't, you know, but do you want to go into an organization that is sort of accustomed to doing things that way, where one guy's talking, then another guy goes behind your back and try to undermine you and puts out another talking point or whatnot. I just can't think that to be a very good place or environment to work in. You know, and maybe had they hired Mike Vrabel, it would have been, you know, that would have been the son's guy and they would have worked well because he was the president. But, you know, in this situation, the owner has said, Gerard Mayo has been there his whole career, not just playing career, but his coaching career. They asked him to be on that staff and they wanted to reward him because they felt he was the best guy for the job. Now, again, how the story came out, about Vrabel being the home run hire, Who told him? I don't know. I tend to probably sort of lean toward what Joe was saying. Maybe his son wanted it and he put it out there. But the owner, that's not what he wanted. And ultimately, obviously, the owner got what, you know, got what he wanted because that's his team. And Gerard Mayo is the next head coach of the New England Patriots.
It could be, too, that somebody put that out there because they wanted it out there. You know, that wasn't ever the truth. And that somebody put that out there. But I don't see the benefit to doing that.
Yeah, me either.
To using the media and saying, you know, like, put the story out there that we think that Mike Vrabel would be a great hire, even if it's not the truth. I don't necessarily see what sort of negotiating benefit that would be. I don't see necessarily that being the case. But
I think it was somebody's truth within that building.
Feels like it had to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was either a miscommunication or a disagreement, and I lean a disagreement within the Patriots organization. But again, the news coming out this morning, Gerard Mayo will serve as the New England Patriots' new head coach. The Titans will begin to conduct head coaching interviews this weekend. Antonio Pierce, the Raiders' interim head coach, will be interviewed by the Titans this weekend, but there is a long list of coaches that the Titans have requested to interview. Texans offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick is on that list. Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan is on that list. Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson is on that list. Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka is on that list, in addition to several defensive coordinators across the league. All right, coming up next, we'll get into some questions for D-May. So get those questions in for Ask D-May. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a question for D-May, we'll take your calls, we'll take your texts. Ask D-May is coming up next. We're live out here at the BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. This place is awesome. This place is really cool. It's in the Old Patron Club at Bridgestone Arena, but you don't have to wait for game day. You can come out at any time. It's open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Grab some food, grab some drinks, watch any of these, the, you know, 10, 15 TVs in this place. It's really, really cool. We'll give away a $50 voucher for the new BetMGM Sports Lounge for the best question for D-Mace, and we'll do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Get those questions in for D-May. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your calls and we'll take your texts. The best question for D-May will win a $50 voucher for the new BetMGM Sports Lounge restaurant and bar inside Bridgestone Arena. That is where we are today. It is absolutely beautiful. I've heard the hanging bacon is delicious. That's what Michelle Kennedy, Predators president, told us earlier on the show. So best question for D-May will get a $50 voucher for the new BetMGM Sports Lounge. Let's get your questions in for D-Mace. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate is on the line with a question for D-Mace. What's up, D-Mace? Or what's up, Nate, rather? Too many D-Maces here.
What's up, Caroline and D-Mace? So with everything that has happened with the Titans, what are the players thinking in the locker room? And do they how are they thinking about, you know, whether they will be able to succeed with the Titans or not? Because we know how we feel on the outside looking in based on the situations that's been going on, but how are they feeling internally?
Yeah, thanks for your call, Nate.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's a good question. Unfortunately, I went through it once in Baltimore when Brian Billick got fired and then John Harbaugh ended up replacing him as the head coach, and obviously, you know, the rest is history with him and the Baltimore Ravens. But I think it's the unknown. I think it's the unknown with everybody in the building, not just the players. Who's going to be the next head coach? How are you going to fit into this head coach's system? How do you fit in this head coach's plans moving forward? Especially for, say, like older guys and, you know, those guys that are not quite established yet. How am I going to fit into, into what this new head coach is potentially going to want to do moving forward as far as scheme and everything else? So guys are anticipating and are waiting to hear who the next head coach is going to be. But they're just like everybody else. It's just an unknown. And when it's an unknown, you know, people, if you're not an established guy in this league, you tend to be a little bit nervous because you don't know what to expect from a new guy. You don't know if he's going to want you to be a part of the program or not.
Yeah, good question. Cam is on the line with a question for D-Maze. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, good morning, guys. Did I hear this correctly? D-Maze, was Nick Saban your coach at Michigan State?
Yeah, he was for two seasons, my junior and senior year.
Okay. Can you see a difference between Nick Saban then and Nick Saban now?
Yes, obviously there is. Obviously, when we took the job at Michigan State, which was in 1995, I believe. He was young. I think this was his first big collegiate job. And he had this, he had to come in, he had to set some things straight. This is a program that, we were not successful in previous years. So he had to come in and sort of rebuild this program from the ground up. So, he was a little bit different in regards to his approach, his demeanor. I think as the years went on, he still had the same winning approach. But I think he started to adapt to, the kids of today. He started to, learn how to talk to them, inquire about them, not just on the football field, but off the football field, learning how to care more about these individuals. So I think that's how he has changed over the years. And I think any good to great coach or player, you're going to evolve as the time does if you want to last in this game for a long time. And obviously, Nick Saban was able to evolve and adapt and win multiple championships and is regarded as the greatest college coach that we've seen.
That's really, I think, what differentiates Nick Saban from other coaches or what makes his run even more impressive is how much college football has changed over the years. I mean, look, he won his first national championship in 2003. He won his last national championship in 2020. College football is night and day different between those two periods. And then, of course, all the five other national championships in between those two. So his adaptability of, he might not like the changes of college football, but he's going to embrace them, and he's mastered a whole heck of a lot of them. I remember him complaining about the direction of college football with airing the ball out, up-tempo offenses, pass-heavy offenses. And then what does he do? He adapts, wins more national championships. He was, pretty outspoken against NIL and then embraced NIL, starts talking to him and bragging about what Bryce Young's million-dollar NIL deal. And now, he got Alabama back to the college football playoff this past year. So adaptability with Nick Saban differentiates him from so many others. Success across different eras of college football. Yeah, go ahead, D-Maze.
Even that, Caroline, we've seen other coaches where they've tried to adapt and they tried to be something that they were not. You look at Brian Kelly or some of these other coaches developing accents that they don't have and all this other stuff, trying to be cool in front of the kids. Nick Saban didn't have to do any of that.
I'm sorry, did Brian Kelly not win 10 games in back-to-back seasons in his first 2 years at LSU? Why are we coming for my coach?
I'm just saying, because it's the truth. But
I think the best example of that is Dabo.
Yeah, Dabble. Yeah, exactly. So Nick Saban, he was able to adapt, but he didn't change who he was at the core. You see some of these other coaches start to change who they are, and they may have success early on, but then it sort of fizzles out. That's not Nick Saban.
Eric is on the line with a question for D-Maze. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes, before I get to it, of course I've got a dad joke, and this one probably is going to be a groan to you. I give it to you. So what do you get when you combine a nervous javelin thrower with a writer?
I don't know.
Shakespeare.
Not bad, Eric. Not bad.
Yeah, I know. Like I know. Right, I told you. That's the one I heard. I didn't come up with myself, but I heard it. You know, teammates, my question is this. Of course, now, Brayton's gone and everything, but just the last 3 years, here's the thing. We had the number one seed, but we led the NFL in injuries. Last year, we had the seven-game losing streak, 7-10, and I believe we led the league again in injuries. And then this past year, while I don't think we led the NFL in injuries, I think we were something like second or third. So the last 3 years, we've either been near the top or at the top with injuries. And just a two-part question. What do you think with the strength and conditioning? Is there anything they can maybe do differently to prevent some of these injuries? I know some of it's bad luck and some of it's soft tissue. They said supposedly with the grass that was supposed to change. And what did you do as a player in your training and condition to try and help with situations of injuries? Because I think even with the Titans during the run that we had some injuries, but not to that level. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. It's always good to talk to you. Take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for your call, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and put it all on the strength and conditioning folks, because I'm sure they are good at their job. And I wasn't, and I'm not inside of that weight room with certain plans that they have particular guys on. But it is ironic that over the last two and a half seasons, that this team has just been injury prone for whatever reason. You could say they're snake bitten or just a stroke of bad luck. I don't know what it is, but then you see those same guys go to other places and they're relatively healthy throughout the whole year. So you just don't know quite what it is, but I'm sure they will get a whole new, you know, weight, strength and conditioning, you know, coach. They may get, you know, the next coach coming in may want to change up a whole bunch of things within that building as far as, you know, things that directly affect the players. And one of those things can be the strength and conditioning. As far as me, you know, my first 2 years, and Steve Watterson was great. I mean, he was awesome at being the strength and conditioning coach for the Titans his years here. But after the first couple of years, I know I needed something more tailor-made to me and my position and what I do. I ran all the time as receivers. We're always running. So I did a lot of track work. I, you know, stretched, yoga, all this other stuff that guys are now doing. I was doing that stuff back then. And my thing was, you know, I'm not saying, you know, what is being done in the weight room ain't right, you know, because I believe it is, but I needed something tailored toward me. You know, you can give us all the same thing, but that doesn't mean it's tailored toward me. So I had to get something more tailored toward me, but I had earned that right to go outside of the building and work with a personal trainer.
And I think that every injury has a different story. Looking at the Titans' exactly. injuries this year, how many of those injuries were due to guys that had already been injured and re-injured said injuries? Thinking of Christian Fulton. He came injured. He got injured. You know, and how much of it is, you know, you're just getting dominated. Like Andre Dillard got injured this past year, and it's because he was just getting worked every single week. How much of it is just weird, kooky, fluky things that happen in the game of football? Like, you know, you get concussed. You know, Will Levis, he had zero protection, and so he got injured because it's football and injuries happen. How much of it is the training staff, the strength and conditioning coaches, and how much is it you just can't bring in the number of injured players that you have the past couple of years? How much of it is you just aren't getting proper protection up front? That's what I would like to kind of break down as well.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a lot of factors into why a team is more injury prone than the next team. You know, because a lot this year were not soft tissue injuries. You know, we had guys get concussion, guys high ankle sprain, and that has nothing to do with the you know, strength and conditioning coach. That just has everything to do with football being a very physical sport. And then, oh, by the way, our offensive line isn't good, so I'm getting hit more times than not.
All right, right back into your questions for D-Mays coming up next. Again, the number is 615-737-1025 if you have a question for D-Mays. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders are at home facing Sam Houston with pregame beginning at 4:30 p.m. and tip-off at 5 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com. Ask D-Mays. Get those questions in for D-Mays. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. We'll take all of your questions for D-Mays. And the best question for D-Mays will win a $50 voucher for the new BetMGM Sports Lounge restaurant and bar inside Bridgestone Arena. That is where we are at today. BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. This place is an absolute blast. They've got food, they've got drinks, they've got TV, so come hang out here on a game day or not. But we'll get right back into your questions for D-Mays. Matthew in Nashville texts in, says, 1 year ago, if somebody told you in the first month of 2024, not only Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick would both be fired, but then Nick Saban would retire, and there's even a possibility that Mike Tomlin's job is in jeopardy, what would you have said?
Oh, man, I'd have said, man, the sports world is coming to an end as we speak. You know, you have arguably the, well, we don't even have to argue about it. You have the greatest college coach ever and the greatest NFL coach ever. And then a coach that has only, you know, only other, what, three coaches have only done what he has done. And that's to win a national championship as well as a Super Bowl and Pete Carroll. And you're talking about three guys that are different. You know, two of them are more alike than the third, but three guys that are different, but they all found a way to adapt to the changing times and not only adapt, but also win.
And I think that it's crazy that I consider two of the best coaches in the sport, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, in the span of, you know, 12, 14 hours, they both are, you know, away from the place that they've been for so long. It's like my childhood of football, of Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, no longer where they're supposed to be. Another texter texts in, says, what's the best advice that you've gotten from Nick Saban?
Oh, my goodness. It's so long ago, I can't remember that.
Must not have been too great advice.
I mean, no, it was.
I'm kidding.
Nick's thing was just be responsible and do the things that are asked of you. That's what his main thing was. You know, if we ask you to do something, be accountable and be responsible. If you're accountable and you're responsible, then we're good. But if you're not accountable and you're not responsible, you're not going to last long in our program. And I saw guys that exited the program at Michigan State, and I'm sure guys can give you stories that were either at your alma mater, LSU, or in Alabama, where, you know, if you were not those two things, then you didn't survive in that program a long time.
And that seems pretty obvious that Nick Saban, he runs a tight ship. Maybe not the easiest coach in the world to play for, but you'll be better on the other end after you play for him. Randy Texan, and ask kind of about the process, the player perspective when a new coach comes in the NFL. Randy asked, does the coach, after being hired, reach out to each individual player to share his vision and plan? And how does he reassure players who aren't happy with the firing to get them to start buying into the change? That's what might be the Titans locker room might be experiencing here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the coach is going to have individual conversations with guys on that roster. Now, how many of those guys will he sit down and have a conversation with? It varies. You know, you come in and you assess your roster, and you know guys that are going to be here. So that's where you first start. You start with the Will Levises, the Jeffrey Simmons, you know, Tajay Spears, Treylon Burks, guys that have been here for a minute, guys that you see moving forward at least this year as being a part of this team. So you go to those guys first. And then you sort of, you know, kind of work your way down the roster. But I mean, I know every, you know, just about every new coach want to meet with every guy, but sometimes it's just not feasible to meet with every guy. So, but yeah, you do want to meet with those guys that you feel are going to be cornerstones of your organization moving forward.
Cole texts in and asks D. Mace, what's your least favorite place to play in the playoffs?
Least favorite place to play in the playoffs? Ooh, man.
My least favorite place to play the playoffs would be Kansas City this weekend.
Oh, if you're talking about this weekend, it would be Kansas City. But if you're talking about just in general places that I played playoff games, it was New England. Because, boy, oh, boy, does it get cold up north during that time of year. And, hey, you may be playing in a blizzard. You may be playing in an ice storm, one of the two. But you're not going to walk away playing in, you know, 50 or 60 degree weather. That's not going to happen. So my least favorite place to play is New England.
Well, the good thing is nobody has to worry about playing in New England in the playoffs this year.
Absolutely.
Was there one place in particular that you felt was so much more intimidating or menacing in the playoffs than it was in the regular season?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
When that place get rocking. Oh my goodness! When who was it? Wiz Khalifa came out with the Black and Yellow that song. Oh my goodness! If you were down and at your, I remember, you know, in Baltimore where we were down. I think they had just scored a touchdown on a Polamalu return for an interception. Uh-huh. We were at our own 15. We got stopped or something at the 15-yard line. And you're talking about between the timeout and the time that we hiked the ball, there was not a more deafening place. I mean, it was rocking. It was intimidating, very intimidating.
I mean, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, both of those places, just no matter when, what time of the year it is, it seems like a scary place to play.
But just think, in Pittsburgh in the playoff, those yellow tiles are way.
Times 10.
Oh, my goodness.
Times 10. One texter texts in, asked D-Mace, who do you think, maybe not in his specific name, but just in traits, would be the ideal hire for the Tennessee Titans?
Oh, man. Traits? I think it has to be a guy that is able to connect with the players. I think if you look at the guys that are being hired or that have been hired in recent years, they've always been able to, if they're successful, they've always been able to connect with the players. And in this business, you got to have an offensive mind. You just have to. Defense, yes, win championships. But, I mean, offenses get you to that place where you can potentially win the championship. So the characteristic, you got to have a offensive sort of thought process in what you're doing. But then you got to be able to connect with these individuals because it's different now. It's not just I'm coaching you on the field. It's more than that. You got to coach these guys off the field. You got to worry about certain things that are going on in their life. So a guy that is able to sit down and connect with these individuals.
Mm-hmm. All right. Appreciate everyone for their questions for D-Mace. Again, the best question for D-Mace will win a $50 voucher for the new BetMGM Sports Lounge restaurant and bar inside Bridgestone Arena. This place is awesome. We're doing the show here today. It is where the Patron Club used to be. If you're familiar with that at Bridgestone Arena, it is updated. It's bright. They've got a ton of TVs. They've got great food. I'm excited to try out the food later today. So come hang out here at the BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. All right, Willie Donick will join us coming up next. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan Sunday for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will be at home taking on Missouri. Pregame begins at 11:45 a.m. and tip-off is at noon. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.